Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 16. The Lord, in trouble they visited thee and poured out a prayer when thou chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, and we, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. You with me so far? We're looking at a woman giving birth and the pains of birth. But verse number 18 says, we have been with child. We've been in pain, and we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. And essentially what the prophet of God is saying is that we've had a false pregnancy, that we've gone through the motions, we've gone through what outwardly seems like and looks like a woman in childbirth, even felt the pains of childbirth, but when the whole thing was said and done, the only thing she did was bring forth wind. There's no baby. If that does not describe the average Baptist church in America today, I'll eat your dirty socks. We've had every program, every planned thing we can do. We've put Big Bird on the roof and Batman in the parking lot and handed out suckers and crayons and crackers and done everything we know to do to get people in church. And I've watched pastors that have absolutely broken my heart, even in the last days that I've seen this, and I've seen so much of this, that men are literally spending all of their time trying to tell saved people how to act like saved people. And I'm scratching my head thinking that when you get saved, you get the blessed Holy Ghost of God to lead you into all truth. And what I've come to the understanding is that they got a church full of lost folks. And they're spending entire ministries trying to teach lost people how to act like saved people. Why? Because they've done what they've done in the power of their stinking flesh. And it's no more than a program. It's no more than something that man planned out. And we can do all kinds of evangelistic trickery. And we can get folks to come to an altar, say a prayer, get in a baptizing hole, and join the church. But it'll take more than that to get people to heaven. It will take a work of the blessed Holy Ghost of God. John chapter 3, we see the story of Nicodemus, and there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't say you can't get in. He said you can't even see it. You can't comprehend it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Then Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I don't think Nicodemus is being at all a smart aleck here. Nicodemus just don't get it. He just don't understand. Of all of the men in Israel, Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin Council without any doubt. One of the 70 elders of Israel. He was a special man. As a matter of fact, I've heard this said many times, that if there was any man in the Bible that could have gone to heaven without being saved, it was probably Nicodemus. A man who was raised in a place, in a way, of as a Pharisee, that he had memorized. Most Pharisees memorized the first 5 books of the Bible. They fasted at least 2 days a week. They gave tithes of everything that they owned. And here this man Nicodemus, one of the leaders of Israel, does not understand the new birth. It reminds me of a lot of Baptist churches. Folks trying to tell folks how to go to heaven, they don't even know how to go. It's sad. It breaks my heart. But it is part of the end time apostasy. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And Jesus looked at Nicodemus and said, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And then he goes on and said, The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to talk to you for just a few minutes on earmarks of a legitimate new birth. Earmarks of a legitimate new birth. Now, this is cornbread simple. I'm a dumb country boy. There's not a whole lot I know, but I know a few things, and I know one of them is about a birth. And they try to confuse you, and there's a bunch of them ignorant liberal Democrats today that won't tell you the man can get pregnant. They need to go to a hospital somewhere and be bored and check for the hollerhead. How demon-possessed do you need to be to think a man can be pregnant? I'm sorry. I'm just going to speak my piece here. You know better than that. And I realize that they got things they call test tube babies, but I'm going to tell you something about a natural birth, and I'm going to move on, and we're going to be done and go to the house. There ain't never been a real birth without parents. There got to be parents, and there got to be two of them. And the Lord Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. We're not going to have that discussion about the placenta in the mother's womb. That's not the water he's talking about. This is a spiritual application that's going on here. The Lord Jesus is telling him about spiritual things, and there's a metaphorical water that's being talked about here. What is that water? It's the preaching of the Word of God. It's this book. It's the Word of God. You remember when Philip went down into the desert in Gaza, and that Ethiopian eunuch was down there, and he saw him, and he was standing by a chariot up there reading the book of Isaiah, reading chapter number 53. I don't know if he had been to Jerusalem, got a parchment or some kind of papyrus scroll or something, and had Isaiah 53 reading it. And the man of God came up, and Philip said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And that Ethiopian eunuch said, How can I except some man should guide me? And the Word of God said that Philip, right there at the back of that chariot, did what? Preached unto him Jesus. I told you this morning, apart from the preaching of the Word of God, this world's going to go to hell. It takes preaching. It's the preaching of the Word of God. This Word of God has a power in it. Husbands, love your wives. Ephesians 5:25 and 26. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. That's what we're talking about, right? With the washing of water by the Word. Peter said it like this, being born again, not of corruptible seed. What's that? That's human birth. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you've ever been born legitimately of the Spirit of God, the preaching of the Word of God was involved, and it is the seed that gets into the heart of a man. And when God puts that seed in there, God germinates that thing. There's got to be two parents, but it starts with the preaching of the Word of God, but that other parent's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. It takes the work of the Holy Ghost of God. If there's one thing I've been praying and asking God and begging Him for, we need a manifestation of the Holy Ghost of God. We need God to manifest Himself in this place. I realize there's a lot of tricks I can do to get a lot of people to come in this building, and we can start doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and we can get folks to come in, and they'll file in here from all over Asheville and all over Buncombe County, not be no Holy Ghost involved. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again because I mean it with all my heart. I'd rather have three or four of y'all meet with me down here under a pine tree if God the Holy Ghost would show up. That's what helps you. That's what gives you. That's what gives you food for your soul. That's what picks you up when you're hurting. That's what gives you the strength to go another mile. It's that blessed manifestation of the Holy Ghost of God. You say the Holy Ghost of God's everywhere. Yeah, but he don't manifest himself everywhere. I'm talking about a manifestation of the Spirit of God. Buddy, that's what we really need. I love it when God begins to manifest himself. And I've told you story after story through the years of the Flint Hill Revival. And one of the greatest things that I saw, and I'll give you a couple of those tonight from the Flint Hill Revival, was just extraordinary manifestations of the Holy Ghost of God. Miss Lori, I mean, just out of nowhere, God come rolling in like a fog bank. I remember one Wednesday night, walked in, had a special missionary. Missionary was supposed to have the service that night. God, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. I stood up in the pulpit, Brother Smith, and I said, heads bowed and eyes closed. And when I said that, starting the service, stood up and said, heads bowed and eyes closed, and God fell like a fog bank in that place. This folk started filing out, getting in the altars. One of the best ladies in the church got gloriously born again over here, and she couldn't even get to the altar. It was so full, she's laying out in the floor getting saved. I'm talking about a manifestation of the Holy Ghost of God. Listen, when God moves, you don't have to do evangelistic trickery. I was preaching a meeting up in Ashe County. God broke out in revival several years ago, and me and the young pastor were talking before, and he was worried because the pews were up against the walls. He said, preacher, I've been worried. He said, if, you know, somebody's under conviction, God's dealing with, I don't want it to be difficult for them to get out and get to the altar. I preached for a few nights, and one night in particular, I preached my heart out, and there's a man, his daughter, his wife, and his son. His son thought he was a preacher. His wife was a Sunday school teacher. I'm not sure what he was, but his teenage daughter was just a rebel. And they sat, and they laughed, and they mocked, and they made fun, and I couldn't hardly preach for them sitting there mocking and laughing. Brother, the next night on Friday night, no, Saturday night, they extended the meeting. We went on Saturday night. Saturday night, God, the Holy Ghost showed up. Miss Lori started to sing, Are You Afraid to Die? God, the Holy Ghost fell on that place. And this folk started busting out of them pews, crawling over top of one another, knocking one another out of the way. And my little old preacher buddy didn't have to worry about them benches being up against the wall. When God, the Holy Ghost showed up, them folks was dying to get to that altar. I watched that teenage girl come down. She fell on this side of the altar. And when I knelt down to pray with her, Brother Ed, I put my hand down in the carpet. And the carpet was sopping wet where that teenage girl had wet, bitter tears. I watched her brother, thought he was a preacher, get saved. Her mama, that was a Sunday school teacher, got saved. And God, the Holy Ghost, can do what I can't do. I'm talking about it's God. If you ever been born, you got parents, two of them. God, the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God. The Spirit of God begins to move and the Spirit of God begins to work. I'll give you this real quick. I don't mean to bore y'all. Number one, you got to have parents. But I know that for my note takers, there's another. There ain't never been a birth without pain. You see, when the Holy Spirit of God begins to move, there's going to be pain. Now, a lot of folks don't understand this. Some of you that's got snow in your hair and you love God and you've been around a while, you know what I'm fixing to say here. If any of you ladies ever give birth, you let that child pass through the birth canal. Mama, you went through the jaws of death to bring that child into the world, and it's painful. It's painful for you, and it's painful for that child, but I like it. I like it when God, the Holy Ghost, begins to give a burden for lost souls. God begins to impregnate the church and begins to let you carry that child, carry that baby. You say, preacher, why do you get so excited about people getting saved? Well, if you don't, it's because you never carried them. Huh? That's why you don't get so excited about other people's youngins. You didn't carry them. But if you carried it for a little while, Miss Stephanie, you can get excited about it. And I tell you what, we're missing in the Baptist church today is people that have a burden that's a gift of the Holy Ghost of God that lets you carry a burden for a lost soul. I never will forget in the Flint Hill Revival, God gave me two real special burdens. One of them was for a special lady we loved so dearly, and I loved her for years before I ever pastored that church, before God ever broke out in revival. We loved her. And there was another lady, I went there, and y'all know the story. I preached for 7 nights as a guest evangelist, preached revival for 7 nights, Brother Smith, 7 nights. Not a holy grunt, not a tear, not one person come to an altar. For 7 nights, they looked at me like I was purple, had one big eyeball right in the middle of my head and beamed in from planet Pluto. That's what they did for 7 nights. They looked at me. And the closing benediction, by the time the word amen came out, you better not been standing in the doorway back there because they'd have knocked you down. I mean, gone. What I had no idea was God was doing a deep work. God was doing a deep work. And there was a gal there, and at the time I didn't even know what her name was. But the only thing I knew was she had long, straight, black hair, jet black hair. God got on my trail. God gave me a burden, and I didn't even know her name. And every day I was praying, wallowing around, shedding bitter tears, saying, God, would you deal with that woman with long black hair? God knew what her name was. God, will you deal with that woman with long black hair? My wife and I had no idea within a matter of a few months I'd be pastoring that church. And we were going out to eat, and I finally learned this precious lady's name, and we were taking her and her husband out to eat one night. She got in the back of the car with us. We'd been under a burden for her. Now, in her mind, she is as saved as I was. But she wasn't listening to the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is telling me I need to pray for this woman with long black hair. And I remember she got in the van with us one night, Miss Lori, and all the way to the restaurant, she tried to convince us how saved she was. I knew, hallelujah, I'm right on target. I'm right on target. Anybody's got to convince me how saved they are, I am on target. And buddy, when God began to break the dam on that Flint Hill revival, one of those first Sunday mornings, I had the privilege and the honor of standing in that pulpit and giving the invitation. And I watched that woman with long black hair. She sat back behind where Miss Eve was sitting back here on this side of the church on a Sunday morning in February 2006. She come out of that pew. And she started down that aisle, and you could hear her all over that building for 30 years. I've been a lost church going hypocrite for 30 years. I've been a lost church going over and over again all the way down that way, on her way to that altar to be gloriously born into the family of God. But there was some pain involved in that. I think that's part of the reason we're not seeing folks saved today is because as a church, we're not carrying a burden for sinners. Can I just tell you this tonight? You can't make it up. It's a love gift from God that comes from the intimacy of a relationship between a husband and wife. And it ain't any wonder we got so many illegitimate base-born children in the house of God today, because they're a product of something other than the relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. But I like it when God gives me a burden and lets me begin to pray for the souls of men. There's pain, but I tell you what, there's pain when it comes to having that baby. I remember sometime later in the Flint Hill revival, little old Miss Jamie was pregnant and fixing to have Samuel, and we were at the house. I knew they took her to the hospital in Elkin, North Carolina. Some little old girl called me, preacher, you got to come. You got to get down here to the hospital now. Me and Miss Lori, we got ready, and we went off down to the hospital. I thought, I don't know what's taking place, but Lord, help Miss Jamie with this baby. And we got to the hospital, and them little old young teenage unmarried girls was out there in the hall just a squalling and a weeping, grabbed a hold of us, preacher, you got to pray for Miss Jamie right now. I said, what in the world's wrong? They said, she's hurting real bad. Honest, I didn't say what I thought. Honey, she's having a baby. It's supposed to hurt. If his church would get to feeling them birth pains, we get to seeing some get burdened in the family of God. You're going to ask God to give you a burden, to let you carry one. And it's more than just the mama that hurts when that little old baby comes through that birth canal. God's so wise, he knew how to make their bones and the structure of their forehead, because they got to come through that birth canal and they come out of crying. Why? Because there's pain involved. There ain't never been a birth without pain. I'm talking about Holy Ghost conviction right now. I'm talking about being under conviction. When God begins to deal with your soul and reveal to you who and where you are and what's going on in your world. And I remember very distinctly when God brought me under conviction. God really began to deal with me. And y'all know the story, and I'm not going to trouble you with it again, but I can tell you this much. When God began to deal with me, there was time and time again, God was going to make sure I got in. I wasn't making no false profession. God's going to birth me in the family. And I was going through birthing pains, and I remember getting in that old Oldsmobile Cutlass and going up to Hardee's. It's Taco Bell on 2nd Street in North Wilkesboro now. But I remember sitting in that parking lot, Bubba, crying like a baby, begging God to help me. And God didn't save me there. So why didn't God save you there? Because the monkeys ain't in charge at the zoo. God was working faith and repentance in my heart, and God was doing a work. And when it was through, it was going to bring forth salvation. And God does that work in your heart. There's pain. I told you this morning about Saul on the road to Damascus, fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What's the pricks he's talking about? Well, if you get into that, it's an ox goad. It's a stick several feet long, sharpened at the end, that you use to goad an ox with to make them go the direction you want them to go. And the Lord Jesus said, Paul, you've been getting goaded in your heart. And that's the pricks of the Holy Ghost of God showing that you're in trouble. Well, there ain't never been a birth without parents. There ain't never been a birth without pain. But you know, there ain't never been a birth without a place. A place. I'm talking about the air marks of a legitimate new birth. Brother Danny, I was there, but I don't remember it. But there's a piece of paper in the courthouse in Wilkesboro, North Carolina, that says that on Saturday night, August the 22nd, 1964, at 7 o'clock in the evening, Mary Johnston Reeves gave birth to a bouncing baby boy and named him Michael Lee. At that time, they called it Wilkes General Hospital. That's where I got born into this world, in my natural birth. But Miss Joy, I could take you back to a little single wide trailer, green and cream colored, that sat for years and years on the Fair Plains Road in North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, on a raggedy couch about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, where God the Holy Ghost invaded my space, brought me to faith and repentance. God birthed me into the family of God sitting on that couch. That night when God birthed me into the family of God and I got up off that couch, I didn't run around, scream, holler, and shout and run around the trailer. I went to bed and I got a real good night's sleep. Brother, when I woke up the next morning, I really can't explain this, but grass was greener and the sky was bluer and the world was just different than the world that I'd been in the day before. That's what new birth will do for you. It'll put you in a new world. You see, you spent 9 months in your mama's belly. When you get out in that new world, there's a lot to explore. And it looks different. And I'm going to tell you what, when you get born into the family of God, there's a place where you go. There's a lot of folks say, Preacher, I'm saved, but I don't know where it happened at. You mean to tell me something bigger than a refrigerator moved inside you and you don't know where you was when it happened? Come on now. I ain't falling for that. There's a lot of folks get confused and get tore up, messed up about when they got saved and how they got saved and where they was when they got saved. If you have any question about that, I wasn't there, but I know somebody that was. Why don't you just ask them? See, I got confused about when and where I got saved. At a time in my early ministry, brother, the devil ragged me, tried to make a fool out of me over that thing, because I had made a profession when I was a 12-year-old kid. But see, I didn't get saved when I was a 12-year-old kid. I just had a highly emotional religious experience. It wasn't salvation. But when I was 20. 24, fixing to turn 25 years old on that couch in that little single-wide mobile home on the Fire Plains Road. God birthed me and the family of God. That's where I got saved. But I needed to get that settled in my heart. And there's a preacher told me, he said, Brother Mike, he said, if anybody wants to know where God saved them, why don't you just get along with God and ask? God, show me. Show me. I don't want to struggle with this. I don't want to wrestle with this. God, if I'm yours, if I'm saved, show me where you saved me. And I was preaching in Washington, Kansas. The pastor was gone away, and I was in the pastor's home laying in the floor. God, you've got to get this straight with me, because my salvation testimony's got no power, because I'm trying to tell people I got saved when I was 12, and the Holy Ghost of God won't bear witness to a lie. There was no witness of God to my salvation testimony because it wasn't true. I was trying to tell people I got saved when I was 12. Well, I was saved, but that ain't when it happened. And there laying in the floor in that pastor's home in Washington, Kansas, God the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart, and it's as if God said, son, when do you change? When do you change? Well, there ain't no question about that. I changed when I was 24 years old on that couch in that single wide trailer. God made me a new creature. And it was like I didn't even know 2 Corinthians 5:17 was in the Bible. And God was just saying, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Listen, if old things didn't pass away and all things become new, then you didn't get saved. You may have had a real hyper-emotional religious experience, but it wasn't salvation. But when God saved me, my world changed. And I can take you back to the place he changed me, because if you've got the air marks of legitimate new birth, there's parents, there's pain, and there is a place. I got more than P words, but I'm through. Y'all finish with me anyway, but I love you. We're going home tonight. I'm asking you this. Do you bear the air marks of legitimate New Testament born-again experience? That God got his word hid in your heart real good and real deep, and God began to work on that word by the precious Holy Ghost of God, and the Holy Spirit of God began to deal with you in conviction, to draw you, to bring you to that place where you could be honest with God and honest with yourself and trust him with a childlike faith and a heart of repentance, and let God change your world. Have you been there? Do you really know what it is to have parents, to have the pain of birth? Do you know what it is to have a place nailed down that you can go back to and say, this is where God saved me?